Dr. Kevin Most joins us, as he frequently does on WGN Radio. You know him as the medical officer, the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. You with me on that, Doc? Wouldn't it be awesome if they did find the Loch Ness Monster?
John, you know, this year has been so bizarre, it would not surprise me at all if we found Bigfoot taking pictures of the Loch Ness Monster.
Bigfoot, Elvis, and the Loch Ness Monster walk into a bar. Hey, it's 2020.
That's right.
So Dr. Ngozi Ezike said yesterday that she thinks that maybe if you're having friends over for Thanksgiving, you should think about wearing a mask in the house while they're there. I don't think that's practical. I don't think people are going to do that, Doctor.
John, I'm right there with you. I do not think they will. I think many people feel that when they have individuals in their home that they know and they're comfortable with, and they know that they're doing the right things outside of that, that they want to take their masks off. They want to be able to see the smile. They want to be able to hear people properly. You know, talking about having masks on in the house, I agree if someone has symptoms in the house, you know, if someone is sick, or if you have somebody vulnerable in your house. But for the day-to-day stuff, I think it's the one place that we should be able to relax a little bit, be careful. You know, as long as we're all doing the right things all the time, that's the one opportunity that the social interaction of a smile, the social interaction of discussion, facial recognition, all those things are so important, and we've been missing them for so long.
So if Thanksgiving were this weekend, should I have family or friends over?
Well, I mean, I hate to tell you, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and I host Thanksgiving for my family. So we get, you know, 20-plus people in our house, and we have decided this year to not do it out of a preponderance of, you know, safety. You know, my mom is, 87 years old, and we want to make sure that we're protecting everybody. So this is one year that if you're going to have it, just please be careful. You know, I couldn't space appropriately in my house with as many people. You know, there's no way I'm going to keep everybody 6 to 8 feet apart with the number of people. You kind of lose that intimacy of the meal itself. So this is one year I hate to be Scrooge, but I'm saying, you know, no trick-or-treating, no Thanksgiving. Let's let this rest a little bit because, as everyone notices, we're starting to see more and more increase, and that's just going to increase the possibility of you spreading it to someone you love.
You watch, we're going to see this meme, Norman Rockwell's famous Thanksgiving painting of the turkey and everybody animated, and they'll all have now stitched onto their faces face masks.
Yep.
And that's not Thanksgiving. That's not the meal if the masks are on. So I take your point. My family and I always go to a restaurant together, and I think we're not going to go to the restaurant this year, though they said they would have seating capacity spread out and we could do it. And it's been for 2 decades our tradition, and we're going to have to find another way to do it this year.
I kind of look at it and say, would you do that today? Would you get into a large gathering today? So for me, we kind of have dates that we set as milestones of something we really want to do, right? We want to have a vaccine before the election. We want to do this before Thanksgiving. And then I say, this illness is kind of dictating how we play out, guys. Let's not set a line in the sand based on the calendar. Let's see actually what's occurring. And I'm afraid by the time we get to Thanksgiving, you're going to see more and more cases of this.
A listener texted in earlier and said, if I've had it and now I don't have it, can I be a carrier? Can I still be contagious to other people? I might pick it up unwittingly. I don't know if that means I've got the disease again, but if I've survived COVID, can I still somehow give it to other people?
You know, we certainly wish that was a simple question, answer of yes or no. The unfortunate thing with this illness is we have so many people who are asymptomatic that have the illness, that have the virus, are spreading the virus, but have no symptoms. So someone that has had it does not mean that that is not going to allow the virus to continue to replicate in the back of their throat the next time they were exposed. They may fight it off and not have symptoms, but are they still going to be shedding virus? And that's the big thing. We don't know yet, so we really have to be careful. People that say, I had it in the past, therefore I don't need to wear a mask, is totally incorrect.
Well, I think that they feel it's correct because it'll keep them from getting sick, and largely that's true, right?
Well, Do you mean wearing the mask or not wearing the mask?
I don't have to wear a mask, not because I won't shed the virus and give it to you, but I don't have to worry because I'm not going to get sick now. I've already survived it. I have some immunity.
Boy, I wish we knew the answer to that.
But
I wish we knew how long immunity lasted, if it really gave you true immunity. It appears that it does, but we don't know how long it does, and we don't know if it is individualized. In other words, someone's immune system is great, and I'm going to get immunity for 6 months. Someone's immune system is not that great, I'm going to have immunity for a while. We haven't done enough studies to see what the IgG and IgM antibodies are, what level they are, and how long they last. We can tell you things about measles and mumps and rubella, but we can't tell you about a virus like this yet.
I think that's what you doctors say, doctor, but I think a lot of people think that's you being cautious on our behalf.
Absolutely, we are.
but they believe that, while that's, of course, the position you would take, their experience is different. They haven't picked up the virus since they've had the virus, and they believe they're going to be okay. I'm not arguing with you. I'm asking you to address that mindset.
Yeah, no. And if you look at it and say, okay, even if you take the results of the scan study, which shows about 20% of the population has had the virus, and you know, many of them didn't know about it because we have a positivity rate of, you know, 4%. So we have a large number of people who had the virus and didn't even know it. We still don't know, can I get that again? And that is probably our biggest concern right now. Sure, there's a couple anecdotal studies of yes, you can, but we still haven't even done the antibody studies to say, you know what, your antibody levels are high enough and they're there 6 months from now, 8 months from now, 10 months from now. We're talking about the impact of a vaccine, and we don't even know, is that vaccine going to be a one and done? Is it going to be a yearly vaccine? We don't even know the answers to that yet.
You think it's going to be 50%, 70%? I guess you sort of just spoke to that, but pick a number, Doc. What do you guess?
For the effectiveness of the vaccine?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be about 50%.
50.
Yep. And you know, if you think about it, fresh out of the box, the first vaccine, if we got a 50%, that's pretty good. I mean, even our influenza vaccine sometimes, you know, gets down into the 30% effective rate. So we would be pretty good if we hit a one initially. I got to remember, there's 150 of these that are being worked on.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
150? Because we've heard about the few that were out of the gate. There was about three, and now some of them have stalled. In fact, I want you to just sort of catch me up on how you see that landscape of vaccines coming to market. Also, a question we get asked frequently is face mask or face shield. Doc, which is better? And is it necessary to do both? In just a minute, 312-981-7200. Here's your turn. Call or text. Best that you call. We get so many texts. Best that you call. 312-981-7200. You get to ask him next. Dr. Kevin Most, I like to think of him as the Dr. Fauci of Chicago, is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Are you okay with that moniker, doctor?
The Dr. Fauci of Chicago?
Yes, sir.
I have so much respect for that man. I would not even walk in his shadow. He's a wonderful, brilliant individual who has decades and decades of experience. And I listen to him very well and appreciate any even recognition that I can spread any sort of positive or information to a group of people. It's appreciated.
John Williams, would you kindly ask Dr. how he feels about Halloween?
All right. So, again, I hate to be the one. I am not a fan this year of Halloween. If you think about Halloween, and if you live in a neighborhood like you live in, John, you know, you could have 100, 200 kids easily running up to your house. You open the door, they're yelling and screaming. So why would we say that that's a great idea to not consider the spreading effect that that may have between the kids themselves, between vulnerable people, and between homes? So unfortunately, this is one where I say, let's not do it this year. Let's figure out some other way to celebrate with kids. But taking individuals, and it's tough to tell a kid that's 5, 6, 8 years old, keep your mask on. And, you know, they're going to run in groups. They historically are going to yell and scream, which is exactly what they do as kids. and it just is an increase in opportunity to spread. So this year, I would say, unfortunately, I would not be a big trick-or-treat fan.
The light's going to be off on the Dr. Most porch, it sounds
yes,
like.
Yes, it is.
Elsie, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Elsie?
Hi, Doctor. I was calling to find out. I have a granddaughter that came in from college, a small college, came in last night and is going back in a couple days. She tried to get tested here in Chicago before she'd see her grandparents. And it's very hard to get tested unless you have symptoms. Is she better off just staying away from the grandparents?
Yep.
Or what? She's thinking
yeah.
of staying outside.
But wait a minute. If I just may, Elsie, you're saying that she could not get tested without showing symptoms?
No. No, you do a pre-screening, and older people can get tested because of their age, but her coming in from college, it would, you know, it would take 3 days for the test to come back, and some places wouldn't even test her.
Okay, Doc, what about that?
Correct. So if you look at the testing facilities right now, the state testing facilities and the county testing facilities, they're taking anybody. They're taking asymptomatic people. It's a drive up, and they're more than happy to do it. Unfortunately, as Elsie said, that turnaround time on those tests can sometimes be 2, 3, 4 days. They were as long as 14 days, so it's great that we've gotten it down. I can tell you most hospitals and health systems have cut back on doing asymptomatic people, and we are now focusing on those with symptoms and those needing to come into the hospital, mainly because we want to make sure we do not run out of supplies, which are starting to get tight again as the country blows up with these number of cases. The people who make the testing reagents only have so much that they can make. So we're all on an allocation system. So right now, we cannot go out and just blatantly test all asymptomatic people that are coming. We need to focus on those to make sure that they're in the right position in the hospital. The county and state still have some where they're available to do it, but it's going away to a site where it takes longer turnaround time. So Elsie, unfortunately, with your granddaughter or grandson coming back from a college setting where we know the rates in some colleges are running at 20-25%, I would say I'd be very hesitant to say, don't get real close to them. If you're going to talk to them, do it from, you know, 10, 15 yards away. But I would be very careful right now just because of what we're seeing happening in the college setting.
Elsie, thanks for the call. Sorry to hear that. 4,000 were north of that yesterday, people testing positive. But that's also because we increased the testing. The positivity rate, though, has gone up a full point. So I guess that's maybe the most alarming number, Doctor?
Yeah, John, it is. You know, the number of tests, like we said, if you think about it, if this disease wasn't that bad and we did more and more tests, you would think that the positivity rate would go down because you're testing more people. As it's creeping up, two things are occurring. One, we're finding out there are more asymptomatic people there. And also what our biggest concern is, obviously, as we're coming into flu season, are we going to really start to see people? You know, today it's 45 degrees out, not a lot of people outside. More people are now staying inside and in groups. So that's probably our biggest concern.
Lori, you're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Most. I had a question. My husband tested positive. He got his results last Saturday, so almost a week ago. And unfortunately, the positivity within his workplace spread to about at least five coworkers. One of his coworkers told him that he, you know, within a day or two got a call from a contact tracer from the state of Illinois asking, you know, questions to do the appropriate tracing. We haven't received that call yet. Should we be expecting that?
You probably should be expecting it. It depends on a couple things. One is, you know, if your husband went in and got tested, all of these test results that we have are positive. We report those to the county and to the state. The backlog on contact tracing is pretty substantial. So yeah, I would expect that you would get a call. I can't tell you where they are in the call tree and how they're doing it, but we know that with the number, if you just look at the number of positive rates now, we were way behind on contact tracing individuals to begin with, and now with this increased number, we're certainly being shown a decrease in the number of contact tracing.
Yeah.
So it's a tough situation.
Lori, have you done it yourself? I guess you and your husband could start calling people that he's been in contact
absolutely.
With. Have you done that?
Yeah. Which we have. Once he got his positive test results, I got tested. My test came back negative, but I've since gone back for a retest. I'm waiting the results because I'm showing minor symptoms.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Good luck to you. Thanks for calling. It's a good question. Bye,
thank
Lori.
You.
Our best to you and your husband. Mike, what was your question? You're on with Kevin Most.
I have two questions for the doctor. One is, does he really believe in 12 months science will overcome what we're going through? And the second question is, do we need to cancel Christmas as well as Thanksgiving and Halloween? What his thoughts are on both of those?
Mike, I've been called Scrooge in the past couple of weeks because, unfortunately, I look at the next four major holidays, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, and I don't think we're going to see anything change to the positivity, in a positive way that we could start to encourage large group settings. So I'm unfortunately, this is just my personal opinion, if you want to minimize the exposure to loved ones in a close setting, I would rethink how you're going to celebrate both Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and Halloween. Do I believe science will overcome this? I believe it's going to be a combination of natural immunity. The vaccine is probably going to be our biggest thing. If you look at our natural immunity right now, we have about a 20% positive rate of people who are exposed that we know. The scan study being done through Northwestern has shown that, which is way higher than we thought. But in order for us to get to herd immunity, we need to be at 60 or 70% immune. And as I was saying earlier, we don't know how long the immunity lasts. But I think eventually this will get to a point where we have a vaccine, whether it's going to be an annual vaccine similar to influenza, which I would hope that it would be, so that we can at least squelch this and slow it down. But I do think science will catch up with this, and we'll start to get not only that from the prevention point of view, but the treatment point of view. I think you'll start to see more monoclonal and polyclonal antibody testing, and you'll start to see more antiviral medications in the pipelines.
Sue had a question I think some of you can relate to. Sue, you're on WGN.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a daughter that lives in Nebraska. She's type 1 diabetic, and she wants to fly in with my grandson for Thanksgiving. It will be a small gathering, but I'm getting the feeling we should let her come.
You know, being a diabetic, obviously, she's placed into that vulnerable population. They have a higher chance of getting infections, and when they do, they seem to get worse infections. Being a type 1 diabetic is, you know, even a little bit more concerning, obviously, than a type 2 diabetic. Flying in an airplane, I wouldn't be overly concerned. It's actually fairly safe to fly in airplanes. But again, bringing her into an environment, if you brought her into a very tight environment and it was only going to be you guys, that's great. Then you only have to worry about her exposure at the airports and getting there. Anytime it's around anybody that's a vulnerable, whether they're a cancer patient, an asthma patient, a COPD patient, I'm extremely careful because just the long-term effects of this and the survivability is just really scary.
Thanks for the call. Good luck. We're no longer going to call him the Dr. Fauci of Chicago. We're going to call him the Grinch of Chicago.
Yeah, I know.
Kevin Most is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Hey, if it's tough medicine, let's take it. Doctor, thank you as always for your expertise.
Yeah, and John, we'll follow up next week about vaccines because it's the story on vaccines is very interesting. So we'll definitely follow up.
We'll listen for you with Bob Surratt Monday morning as well. It's 10:57.